I thank the Lord for the service of the Lord, how much we enjoy this setting, being here, singing these songs. I enjoyed that song so much this morning, Forward, Forward, the men standing here and singing that song. I hope our heart is fully set to go forward. Romans 13 and 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I really just want the first part of that verse this morning, and I ask God that He would draw our hearts this morning to Himself. The scripture says here, knowing the time, that now it is high time. Many other places in the scriptures in the New Testament use that word high time as translated hour. One place it says in that instant. Another place at the time. And then there's other places also. It means that the time is full. It's ripe. It's ready. And so I love this translation of it. It's high time. And we've all probably, many of us heard that little saying, it's high time. I want to think about a few scriptures that the Lord gave, and I believe He gave this to me sometime before this meeting, and I've had a heavy burden ever since then, and it's going to take the Lord to make it effective. But I want to think about something Jesus told us in John 4 and 35. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. You know, they had a little saying among them, evidently, that maybe they planted their fields, and in 4 months we're going to have the harvest. But Jesus said, I want you to look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields because they're white to harvest now. Another place in Luke 10 and 2, it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, I think about the work of God and how great it is, the work that has been done in our hearts and lives and how it changes us and what it's done for you and me and how much we enjoy so many good things of God. And yet, at our doorsteps, all around us, people are suffering from sin. They're suffering from a lack of understanding, of knowledge, of the good things that you and I have so freely given to us all the time. And I think about the scripture in Romans 10 and 15. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, this morning, I feel like the Lord has put on us a heavy burden. It is time now for there to be some called to the ministry. It is time now for there to be some called to all phases of the work of God. To those that will take places, God-given places of teaching, places where the word of the Lord burns upon your heart, places where when a minister needs to leave, that he can. Some places, there's no one there to back them up. And this morning, I trust that God will start to work in our hearts and that we as a people will begin to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. I believe it is high time, folks. It is high time that there be quite a number that the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon, and that they begin to feel the call of God. I want to ask you this morning to pray, however old you are, Lord, what is your will in my life, and what can I do? Here am I, Lord, send me. I want to read a little reading in the Old Testament in Numbers, the 11th chapter. And we are not in this same situation, but we can relate to this. In Numbers 11 and 14, Moses was dealing with several million people. We don't deal on that level, do we? But you know, the people began to complain, and he was having to deal with all of these things, give them the word of the Lord, stand between them and the Lord, and I know it was different than it is now, but I want to read to you what Moses said to the Lord in the 14th verse. He said, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. You know, Moses saw what he was up against. Lord, it's just too much for me. Now, I know we're not in the same category as Moses. We're not on the same level of responsibility as Moses. But I will tell you this morning, the work is too great for the laborers that there are. And it is time, it is high time, folks, for some of us to step forward and put our feet in the shoes of those that preach the gospel. It is time for some of us to step forth and allow the Lord to use our life. I want to read to you what happened here. When Moses prayed this prayer, God heard this prayer, and he heard Moses' words, and he changed the situation. And I want to read how he did that. We go on to read, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and of officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord is looking for those that are already taking the responsibilities of life that he's given to us. And so when he told Moses here to gather 70 men together, he wasn't talking about just going out and gathering anybody. He was talking about folks that had already given themselves to responsibility. And so this morning, I want to challenge us through some words we're going to read here in a little bit. God wants us to begin the process to step into the places of responsibility that he has for you and me this morning. And the Lord told Moses, he said, you gather these together, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. You know, if you look on down in the 25th verse, it says, and the Lord came down in a cloud. Moses went and gathered 70. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Do you know this morning, these people did not call themselves, and we can't call ourselves. But these people were taking responsibility when the Lord called them. Do you know this morning that the Lord is looking for some of us that are already taking places? He wants to put his spirit upon us. He wants to be able to begin to prophesy through you. I know many times when we talk about callings, we make sure everyone knows. Not everybody's called to the ministry. You know what? That's true. And most of the time it's not that way. But folks, there are some people called to the ministry. And it is high time that there be a list of people following up and coming in the footsteps behind and willing to take places of responsibility. And I want to challenge you this morning that when we begin to take the places the Lord gives us, it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost to you and me. The things that we would do, we're not going to be able to do. But I will tell you, the places we would go, we can't always go. But I want to tell you, the work of God, there's nothing like the Spirit of the Lord beginning to move in your life. There's nothing like, I remember when I was very young, one of the young people myself. But I was married, and the Lord began to call me to work with the young people. I've told this before. I was in the bathtub. I had company over. My wife's parents were over, and we were going to have a nice evening. And I had come home from work or whatever I had done that day. And the Lord began to give me. He began to give me scriptures. And I knew it wasn't just something. I knew it was from the Lord. Folks, when these men came, when the Lord came down and they began to prophesy, that was something God did. It was not something that they decided, "I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Folks, these were men that were doing the will of the Lord. And when it came time, and it came time for someone to need to prophesy, the Lord had some folks to call upon this morning. And I want to encourage us. We can't call ourselves, but I'll tell you what the Lord said. He said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he'll call forth laborers." It is time. It is high time for us to pray that the Lord would call laborers. It is high time for you that are young, for you that are middle-aged. Sometimes the Lord don't call until someone's 50 years old. But folks, he calls those that are willing. Not just men. And we'll read that too in a minute. But in Romans 12 and 1, I want to look at a little of the word of the Lord here, where it talks about some of this. It says, I beseech you, strong language, I'm calling on you. Therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Folks, there is plenty of the self life in today's world if you want to live it. There's plenty of it on every hand, and you and I can partake of that. We can give our lives to that. The whole world is doing that this morning. But there has to be those that in their lives they see a higher calling. They see something of greater value. I want to tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move in your life and work in your heart, there's nothing like that. When the Spirit of the Lord begins to call, I will tell you the rest of that story. When I got out, I went out and I told my wife, I said, "The Lord gave me some things for young people's meeting, and I've got to go to young people's meeting tonight." Brother Leslie was taking young people's meeting. I got there, and he was sitting. I could tell he was totally worn out. He was just sitting there, and during prayer, he prayed and he said, "Lord, help Brother Philip to be able to give." To be able to give what you've given him. I want to tell you, that was some of the beginnings, folks, and I do not boast, of a life of the Lord visiting. Over and over. I remember my call to the ministry. I remember how I was praying many times, I guess, there for a while, "Lord, I believe you're calling me to this. I would like you to give me a witness from people. I would like that." Do you know that shortly after that, somebody I hardly knew, I gave an exhortation at Guthrie, and somebody walked up to me after the message and they said, "You better not go back on what the Lord, you know the Lord's called you to preach." And they just, I don't know what more I could have asked for than that. And the Lord began to work like that. And he poured his spirit out and began to work. I want to tell you, folks, there's something very different in that than just trying to do something on our own. And I'm not talking about trying to do something on our own this morning. But the scripture here says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Folks, the Lord's looking for acceptable service, holy vessels. Let's begin to look a little farther than just today. A little farther than just today's battle. Amen. You know, the Lord has, I believe, when people get a vision of something greater, something to go to, something that, you know, the Lord has need of my life. You know, that changes the picture of the battle. When we realize that I'm not just fighting to fight, I'm fighting for a cause. I'm fighting for something that is worth giving my life for. Then, folks, it's worth the blood, isn't it? It's worth the fight. It's worth putting our years into. It's worth putting the best years of our life into to have the things of God and be in His service. Folks, a few years ago, I didn't know if I was going to live or die. I came to a place where I was having severe thyroid problems, and I almost did die. Every time I would get up and walk 15 feet, my heart would start skipping beats. And I didn't know where that was all going to lead. But I want to tell you something. I did not have to look back on my life with regrets. Because by the grace of God, I tried to follow His will. And folks, this morning, if you want a life that you can die with, and if you want a life that you can live with, and the blessings of the Lord, then I want to urge you today to present your bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. I want to read on. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." You know, this scripture exhorts us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to think soberly. It is just the call of God. To one He calls to teach. To another He calls to preach. To another He gives the gifts of help, and things like this happen. And you wonder at people's hands and how they work. And I wonder sometimes, I would love to have that kind of gift, and I don't have that the gift that some have in that way. But you know, this morning, the Lord has a place for you and me. And I want to encourage us to fill that place. The work of God, I will tell you, the harvest is white to harvest. I find that everywhere people are looking, people are being disillusioned and let down by the move to worldliness in worldly churches, by the move away from the Bible, from biblical principles, things that we know and hold dear, that churches are giving up on every hand. And there is lots of people just freely looking. Where are our workers this morning? They're right here. They're waiting for the Spirit of God to move upon you. They're waiting for you to present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I will tell you, Lord, I won't be conformed to this world. I won't let my pattern of life be conformed to the pattern of life of those all around me, but rather to the will of God this morning. So I want to encourage us to allow God that place in our life, folks. There is a very precious thing when the Spirit of the Lord begins to move on your life and on mine. It says, so we being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Yeah. Folks, we need God called, God anointed teachers. Now, I know that we need sometimes somebody to fill a spot. The teacher's not here. But folks, the young people, they need someone called. They need someone with the burden that the Lord gives inspiration to, that He gives His word to. Do you know how precious it is when the Lord begins to work in our hearts and inspiration comes and He begins to give us things and we see how it can change lives? And it does. It's effective, folks. We need some teachers this morning. It starts by giving ourselves holy, acceptable to God, given to His cause and not to ours. Amen. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Do you know there's all kinds of gifts? There's quite a number. There is a gift of exhortation that I have seen work, that when the minister sits down, that somebody that is gifted of the Lord, that he has been able to move on by his Spirit, that can set things in its proper place. It seems like the meeting can be at whatever point it is and the word is given, and somebody with that gift gets up, and people's hearts, the dagger goes right to the heart. The truth of the word, the good things, the call of God comes home. I want to encourage us today. That's not just something we get up and give an exhortation and take everybody's time. Something the Spirit of God wants to move in. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know, I want us to think about a few instances of where the Lord moved on people's lives. And I know some of these were in the Old Testament. I think about Samson. In Judges 13 and 24, I just want to read a few little, several places here actually. Judges 13 and 24. And 25. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. In the 14th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done." I am certain in my mind, the reason he didn't tell them about this great happening was because it was too sacred to his heart. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him and began to work. Then Samson knew the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. He knew he had nothing to boast of. He knew he didn't go boasting, "Hey, you should have seen what I did to that lion." He knew the Spirit of the Lord. He moved mightily. Folks, I hope we can get a little glimpse this morning. The Spirit of the Lord wants to begin to move upon some lives here. I believe that the Lord gave me this thought. It's high time, folks. It's time for the Spirit of the Lord to begin to move on a number of people to prophesy. That means to preach. It's time for the Lord to move on people to take places of teaching, responsibility, where the Spirit of the Lord moves upon them and their words are effective when it's the Spirit of the Lord. You know, you think about in 1 Samuel 3. And verse 4. I want to read this little story that we're all pretty familiar with here, most of us. It says, "Now Eli was the priest at that time in Israel. And Eli was disobedient to the Lord, and he was disobedient in that he did not take care of his sons that were bringing reproaches upon the work of God, and he refused to do anything about it. And so we see here that Eli was getting old, and it says, and then we know the story of Hannah and how she told the Lord, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." You know, this little boy, just a little boy, was given to the Lord. Do you know that your mother and father cannot give you to the Lord in this way today? But I will tell you what you can do. Young children, you can give your life to God. And I want to read to you what happened to this child that was given to the Lord. It says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, and Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Do you know, this morning, that's a beautiful picture to me. Eli knew the voice of the Lord in his life, and he perceived God's call. He's calling this young man. And therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. He must have had a little premonition. Something's wrong. And Samuel grew. Let's see. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You know, this morning, the Lord begins to move in our lives. It's recognizable, folks, when the Lord begins to move. It's not something that we do all on our own. This young child needed this old fella to help him recognize what God was doing here. And sometimes we need one another. We're not just independent. We're part of a body. And the Lord wants us to be that part of that body. But this morning, I want to encourage us. Don't say there's 4 months and then the harvest. Don't say when I get older. Don't say when I get set financially. Give him the best that you have. Give him the best years that you have. I want to tell you, I know many of us here could give you a whole life story of things God has done, and work that he has done in lives, miracles that he has performed. Sometimes when I hear people say the Lord doesn't perform miracles anymore, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think, because there's lots of miracles being performed today. I will tell you lots of things. And I can remember so many times when we're in the Lord's hands, we're his. And when we're his, he takes good care of his stuff. And do you know that I remember when I was so sick at different, with sleep apnea for one. And I remember the very night that the Lord healed me, just right there on the spot. Do you know, folks, those are precious things to me. Nobody could ever talk me out of that. It's kind of hard not to have faith in God after those kind of things happen a bunch of times. But I want to tell you, folks, the Lord wants to be real in our lives. But you've got to be his. When Samuel heard the word of the Lord, he had to do what God gave it to him. And so he got right up and he told Eli and didn't hold one thing back. Now, he feared to do that. But I want to tell you, in the rest of Samuel's life, the Lord blessed him so many times. So many things the Lord moved. Wasn't it Samuel, I didn't think of this before, wasn't it Samuel that the thunder came and the enemy was there, and they prayed unto the Lord, and Samuel prayed, and the Lord thundered upon their enemies? You know, I have to think, Samuel, that was something special to him. They prayed, and the Lord took care of those things. I want to tell you, when you're the Lord's and you get in hard places, you can pray unto Him and He'll answer your prayers. Every one of us here, that's not particular to someone. You give yourself to God and He'll give Himself to you. In Acts 2 and 16, I want to look at the day of Pentecost here. And when the Spirit of the Lord began to be poured out upon men in the New Testament dispensation, much more wonderful than the Old Testament times. But we see here in verse 16, 2 and 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now Peter, in verse 14, it says, "Standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing as it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." Aren't you glad for these scriptures? "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Isn't that beautiful this morning? I feel inadequate and unable to convey the depth of my heart in this morning. But saints, it is time. It is time for us to give up the world. Those of us that take the self life, that so much of our life is given to our own self, to our own things. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to have something greater than that this morning. Does the Lord want us to have a job? Yes, we got to have a job. Most all of us are going to be employed, and we've got to be faithful and work hard at those things. But I will tell you, when those things and the things that money can buy becomes our life, and the Lord's will is not preeminent and predominant, and those things are not just in order to make the will of the Lord be done, and they get out of place, folks, they take away the possibilities of the Lord being able to prophesy through us. They take away the possibility of the Lord reaching down and saying and giving us His word for Sunday school. That's what the Lord wants to do this morning. They take away the possibility of the Lord taking you or me and using us to go out into the highways and hedges. You know, there's people that used to do that among us. And I'm not saying there's not now at all. But Brother Gibson was one. And I have found that a number of families came in through his efforts and through his labors. Because he had a calling. And he had a gift. And when he went places, an old brother was telling me some time back about a time that he had been with Brother Gibson and went to a new place. And after the service, they gave him a little chance to speak, and he began to speak. And do you know that the Spirit of the Lord witnessed through that? And I can't remember the brother's name that was there at that time, but Brother Tomlinson, that was where his daughter was at that service. And she went home, and she said, "Dad, I met a man that you need to meet." And she began to tell him about this. And the next morning, like 7 o'clock in the morning, Brother Gibson gets a knock on his door. And here's Brother Tomlinson wanting to meet this man. And such a blessing among the saints from what I've heard. I never got to meet him, but I've heard a lot about him. Do you know this morning, the Lord has a lot of work to do. And we don't want to say 4 months, sometime later. Sometime, you know, when my cash crop comes in, folks, let's give the Lord our life right now. We're not saying, okay, I'm going out to preach right now. What we're saying is, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you. And you that calls
to all kinds of work and places can place on me what you want to place. This morning, this is crucial to our well-being as a people. We need coming behind us a whole bunch of young ministers that are coming up, that are zealous for the truth of God, zealous to take the life of God to a world that knows nothing of it this morning. There's people everywhere crying out, where do I look? Where do I go? What do I do? And we meet them often. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. I want to read to you just a little verse, three verses or four, from a message the Lord gave a while back. And I want us to think about this thought. In Mark 6 and 41. Because I know the mind of us. I know the mind of people that we can say, what can we do? I know people need to preach, but I'll never preach, that's for sure. You know, I would have never thought of it myself. And I don't put myself up as a great preacher. But I would have never thought of something like that. I never come into my mind. But I want to tell you, in Mark the 6th chapter, in the 41st verse, there was people there with needs. They were hungry. There wasn't anything to give them. And the disciples were like, in verse 36, they said, send them away. Send them away. Get them out of here. They're in our way. We need to go on about our business. But the Lord, he said, give you them to eat. And so he ended up saying, how many loaves have ye? Verse 38. Go and see. And when they knew, they say, five loaves and two fishes. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. Now I want us to remember, I want us to think about two words this morning, okay? The word insignificant and the word potential. You know, I would say between thousands of people, 5,000 men and all, and wives and children perhaps and all that, that five loaves and two fishes would seem pretty insignificant. But I will tell you the potential that they had when they got put in God's hands was that they became something very, very different than what they were. And we see here that when he had taken them, that when they were given to him, and he took them in his hands, and he said, it says, he looked up to heaven and blessed. Folks, that's what we need this morning. And I'm going to ask us to remember something. If you look at the work of God through human eyes, you will faint in that. But I want to tell you something. When God begins to work in your life and mine, it's not us that works. It's him. What he needs is something put in his hands. He blessed those loaves and fishes. And then he broke them. And he gave them. And that's what he's going to do for your with your life and mine. He's going to take our life and he's going to break it. And he's going to give it. And it's going to go everywhere. And all over the place, people are going to get a piece of the pie. And we, what are we going to have left? What are we going to have left when the Lord does that to our life? Well, I will tell you what happened here. When he had taken them and he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake them, and then he gave them to all the disciples, they did all eat and were filled. All the thousands, maybe 15,000, I don't know how many was here, 5,000 men. And it says, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Do you know this morning that that's the way the work of God is? When we give to God, folks, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, we have more left when we're done than when we started. Yeah.
We have a lot more left. They just had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but when they were done, they had all these 12 baskets full of the fragments. This morning, I want to entreat us. I feel very inadequate this morning. I feel very not able to communicate this like I want. But I pray that God would get a hold of our hearts and that every one of us here would consecrate ourselves to Him and would give ourselves to His will and take our will out of the matter. Lord, You know what I want, but I'm willing to submit that to You. And I want that. In 1 Chronicles 29 and 5, we're very familiar with that. But it says toward the end of the verse, who then, and who then is willing to consecrate His service this day unto the Lord? I want to ask you this morning, have you consecrated your service to the Lord? Have you given yourself to His will? Whatever that is, not fearing what it might be, not willing to hold back and say, but I'm only 2 fishes. I don't even have that much. And maybe that's the way we feel. What God needs is you in His hands. That's what God needs this morning. Who then is willing? No matter how old you are, who is willing to present their bodies a living sacrifice this morning? Who is willing to come forward? I believe the Spirit of the Lord is calling. It is high time, folks, for the Spirit of the Lord to begin to move on some of you young, some of you middle-aged, maybe that has not been moved upon. I want to ask you this morning, all we have to do is come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll be Yours. We're not consecrating to be a preacher. Well, we are consecrating if that's what God calls, but we're consecrating to the call of God this morning. I want to tell you, if you want those good things that God has for you and me this morning, then give yourself to Him. Give yourself to the work of God. I could not tell you the multitudes of blessings that come from giving yourself from your youth. Young folks, I want to encourage you. What you do when you take yourself out of God's hands is limit yourself. You limit what God can do in your life. Don't think for a moment, I have but this little time and I've got to make the best of it. Folks, let every man think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith this morning. Oh, we could give other examples this morning. I was just thinking about Samuel went on in his time and he anointed Saul to be king. And he told Saul, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you. And he said, thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And you know it says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. Now I know Saul didn't stay true, but he could have. And it says God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all knew him before time, saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? I know we could go on and on with many scriptures this morning, many illustrations, New Testament times. But folks, I want to encourage us. Who is willing this morning to consecrate your service to the work of God, your life to the will of God? Lord, I want to seek your will first, and I give myself to you first, and then to pursue life. The Lord bless each one of us.